Barna did some research, and in the Barna research, he discovered that 15% of black church attendees experienced direct loss as a result of COVID-19, compared to 7% of white church attendees during the same period. And powerful article, because he talked about how the mental health issue is prevalent in the black church.
Welcome to Encounter Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Sound Mind, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Sound Mind, Part 1.
Down on them. And notice a couple verses that I'll highlight here. That it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, again, this is gone beyond the temporary anger. This is an anger that's lingering now. This is an angering that's occupying your mind, your attention. Then the Lord said, "Dost thou do well to be angry?" And God said unto Jonah, "Dost thou do well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." There's a whole lot of people today dealing with anger issues. The disciples were dealing with fear. You know, when the storm rose and Jesus was asleep on the boat, and, you know, he woke up and came, and the Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Why are you so fearful? A sound mind. A sound mind. You know what a sound mind says? I'm getting ready to help somebody, including Pastor Glaze. I'm getting ready to help somebody, including Pastor Glaze. A sound mind says, "Do you know who's sleeping in the bottom of the boat?" That's what a sound mind says. Do you know who's sleeping in the bottom of the boat? But a fearful mind looks at the waves, looks at the storm, and begins to be afraid. And again, if you don't check it, man, if you just let that, if you let that spirit linger, and you let that spirit continue on, it can become a mental health issue. And then finally, Jesus came to the house of Martha and Mary. And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. But Martha was busy serving. And in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, Martha, burdened with much serving, came unto him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." And the Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need only of one thing. Mary has chosen, because she has a sound mind, the better part, and that will not be taken from her." So again, at the time, Martha, you know, again, I'm not saying that she had a mental health issue at that point, but suppose that now she holds this in her spirit. Man, you know, and y'all do this, man. You know you do it. And you hold it in your spirit. Man, Jesus came, and, you know, him and his old hungry disciples, and, you know, somebody had to feed them. And, you know, I was trying to get a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And here my sister was. She just sat there. You know, I don't know what, you know. And you know, that bothers you. That bothers you. And you can't let that go. Right? At some point, saints, you got to let it go. You can't continue to worry about it. Jesus said, "You can't add any height to your stature or any life to your years by worrying about it," right? I mean, I could have these glasses here, sitting on that pulpit, and I say, well, I want the glasses to be on my face. And I sit here, and I worry about how I'm going to get them there. How are these glasses going to, and I worry about that. Now, either there's something I can do about it, or if I worry, I'm going to accomplish absolutely nothing. And you know what? This has helped me to realize that I'm not saying not be responsible, you know, not take care of your business. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you worry about an issue, you're getting absolutely nowhere. You sit down and you worry for an hour or 2 hours, and then you get up and say, well, what have I accomplished? You just wasted 2 hours. Come on now. You just wasted 2 hours. You know, either I pick the glasses up, put them on my face because I can do something about it, or I realize I can't do anything about it, and I say, Lord, this is in your hands. You know, I like when you read the Greek of that story between Martha and Mary, you know, the idea, Jesus said that, Martha, you have chosen many plates, you know, because she was busy about serving, right? You have chosen many plates, the chicken and the greens and cornbread. You have chosen many plates, but Mary has chosen the best plate. Mary has chosen the best plate. Wow, that's a sermon right there, man. That's a sermon right there. When it comes to mental health, so, you know, we looked at these things in the scripture. We looked at these people in the scripture. And, you know, some of them, you know, it hadn't got to the point of being a mental health issue at that time. And some of them, it did. But when it comes to mental health issues, there are three levels. First of all, there's the emotional imbalance. And in biblical counseling, we call this the inorganic, right? Where it's just, it comes out of your emotion. It comes out of, you know, your being, how you feel. Like all those things we looked at, anxiety, bitterness, depression, anger, all those things that we looked at, you know, they all hit us at some point in time. And when they become a problem is when we fail to deal with them correctly. And then it becomes a inorganic problem. And now you've got a mental health crisis going on in your life. There's the chemical imbalance. And in biblical counseling, that's what we call organic. And that's where you might have a chemical imbalance in your body, that there's something going on there. And so, you know, for those individuals, you know, when that happens, you know, I've heard pastors, you know, tell people that, you know, you don't need to take medication. You know, you just need to trust God. You need to have faith. Well, you know, that this is not one pastor that if you go and the doctor says that, you know, you got some kind of imbalance, you know, chemically going on within you, then you need to be obedient and do what it's going to take to help you, right? Now, here's the problem, saints. Here's the problem that a lot of times, you know, we go get help for the chemical imbalance. Oh, somebody watch me now. Somebody watch me. But we don't go get help for the spiritual part. You see, the psychologist and the psychiatrist, they can deal with the chemical part. They can deal with the mind part. But a lot of times, unless they're a Christian, they're not dealing with the spiritual part. So that's why, even if you're dealing with an organic problem, you still need to get spiritual counseling. You still, because you see, you know, when you look at it, we got the Holy Spirit living in us, right? And how can somebody who don't understand the Holy Spirit working in us, how can they counsel us to allow the Spirit to work in our lives too? All right. So there's the emotional imbalance, there's the chemical imbalance, and then there's demonic influence. And, you know, I believe that we live in a society today where we're seeing a lot more of this. You know, people are, you know, they put them in, or they say that they got a mental health issue, and that might be the case, but they also fighting some demons too. You know, they're dealing with demons in their situation. And so, you know, I tell people that now, if I had to, I would do it. But, you know, I'm not a specialist in exorcisms. So, you know, but I can get you to somebody, right? I can get you to somebody, you know, but you know, I don't want them things jumping on me. No, I'm just messing. Amen. 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 I'm just joking. All right. You know, but you know, a lot of people, you know, they need to deal with them demon spirits that's within them. I mean, saints, and that's why you have to be careful about what you expose yourself to, because you can open yourself up to stuff. You know, I remember Emuel, when we was young, and I don't know where we got it from. Remember we got a Ouija board? We had that Ouija board, right? And we would play with that Ouija board, and it would move, and you know, just, I thank God that, you know, I like the song that says, somebody prayed for me, had me on. Somebody was praying for us, man. You know what I'm saying? Somebody was praying for us. But, you know, something as simple as a Ouija board, playing with that, can open up the avenue for spirits to begin to influence. Now, again, I'm going to say this. As a Christian, I don't think that we can be demon-possessed, but we sure can be influenced by demons if we open our world up to the darkness, you know, the tarot cards and, you know, Ouija boards and all this other stuff. And, you know, so, saints, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. And this will begin to mess with your mind. And so sometimes we think people have a mental health issue and they're actually dealing with demonic issues. So, you know, and so when we look at it, you know, here's the three levels. So I would say that, you know, most of us that end up dealing with mental health issues deal with it on that emotional imbalance level, like many of the people that we saw in the scripture. Let me hit this, then I'm gonna hit one point, and I'm gonna save the rest for next week. And when does an emotional issue become a mental health problem? When does, you know, again, I know I get discouraged. I get depressed. I ain't going to lie to you. I get angry, right? Yeah, I get anxiety, right? But when do those things become mental health issues? Well, you know, the first two, I'm going to go back to the main ingredients and borrow a couple of lines from them. And the first one is when the ability to reason slips away. Right? When you no longer have the ability to think through an issue, right? I mean, you get stuck. You get stuck on how come this is happening? You get stuck on why did this person do this? You get stuck. Now, again, I'm not saying it's anything wrong with going there, but you get stuck. Why doesn't God do something? You get stuck right there. Then you got to be careful, because that issue that you're dealing with might be moving over to a mental health, in the mental health area. I'm not saying that it is. So I'm trying to make it clear that you can deal with it before it moves into that area. And a lot of people don't address it, and that's when it becomes a mental health issue. When you lose touch with reality, you know, you. Now, again, I'm not saying one of these things is the cover all for all of it. I'm not saying that. But, you know, if there's a combination of these things, you know, you just don't want to be bothered with people anymore. Right. You spend a lot of time sleeping or, you know, isolated. Right. You begin to allow yourself to be secluded and, you know, don't want to be in fellowship. You know, you're losing touch with reality. And you know, we live in a world. I did a devotion for the Anchoring to Jesus a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about how that you can do everything without leaving your home. You can buy your groceries. You can get your entertainment. You can order stuff online. And you know what else? And I've done this, right? I've done this. You can even have a doctor's appointment at home, right? You don't even, and I think that what has happened is that that could cause us to become isolated and cut off. That's why, I'm just going to say, I think a good reason to come to church is at least, man, hopefully you get some interaction with some other people, right? You know, you get some fellowship with other people, and it moves you out of that isolation. But, you know, people lose touch with the reality. You can't control your emotions. I mean, your emotions, you know, at one point you're fired up and you're high and you're angry. And at another point, you're just down. You know, at one point, you're crying out, screaming. At another point, you kind of just become, you know, to yourself. Your emotions are out of control. Your normal life is disrupted. You know, everything is imbalanced now. There's an obsession that you keep thinking about a certain thing. You know, something happened in your life, and you just can't get past that. You become obsessed with that. And if you don't get a hold of it, if you don't get a handle of it, it's going to move into a realm that you don't want to go. It goes on for a prolonged period of time. Now, again, I said this, that we all have emotional issues that we deal with. And if we have a sound mind, we should be able to work through those things. We should be able to rationalize through those things. But if it goes on for a prolonged period of time, there's a problem. And then there's dependence on a substance. You know, depending on some type of drug or alcohol or something where you're dependent on something else. And so I'm not saying any one of these things, but maybe one or a combination of these things may be speaking to your heart, that you're moving, or if you see somebody in your family, that they are actually moving into a realm of having a mental health problem. Let's look at it as I wrap this thing up today. I got a whole nother half next week, Jesus came to give us everlasting life, but he also came to give us an abundant life. The thief, amen, amen, amen. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What's abundant life? Think about this for a minute. What is abundant life? Abundant life is peace, joy, righteousness, and a sound mind. That's abundant life. And if you don't have that, you're not experiencing the abundant life. Yeah, we're going to have problems. Yeah, we're going to have issues. But we should be able to come back to center. You know, we should be able to come back to the foundation of an abundant life. And then we are told that we should love God in Matthew 22, verse 37, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with your mind. Let me ask you a question. If you got a mind that loves God, oh, my goodness. Now, again, let me go back. Let me go back real quick. Three levels, right? Emotional imbalance, chemical imbalance, and demonic influence. So I'm speaking to those individuals now who are dealing with the emotional imbalance, that you need to catch it now. You need to check it now because it can get out of hand. And if you get angry with somebody or you get bitter with somebody and you are loving God with all your mind, you are loving God with your mind, He's going to help you to overcome that. See, the problem is we got to ask ourselves, am I loving God with my mind? Well, you're going to say, well, how do you love God with your mind? We'll come back next week and we'll tell you. I'll give you a little foretaste. How do you love God with your mind? If you put that one slide up there, love God with all your mind, a delivered mind, a disciplined mind, a dominated mind, a discipled mind, and a devoted mind. That's what it means. So we're going to talk about that next week. You know, as I close today, I just want to say this, that at Bethany, we are serious about addressing, because churches, and the big complaint against the church is that the church hasn't done anything in the area of mental health. I mean, just that's out there. And so here at Bethany, we are addressing the issue of mental health. One way that we are addressing it is that we actually have a community care worker here at Bethany Baptist Church that will connect with people who are dealing with mental health issues and get them to the right place, all right? And she's going to make a presentation in a couple of weeks. And her name is Sister Jerry Taylor. Is Jerry here today? Yeah, over there. Amen. Amen, Sister Jerry Taylor. She has gone through extensive training from a biblical perspective. She has gone through extensive training through a perspective of knowing where all the help is. And so anybody dealing with emotional issue, that she can get them to the place where they need to go, get them the help that they need. And like I said, she's going to be making a presentation in a couple weeks. We also have a biblical counseling ministry where we help people that are dealing with mental health issues. And we are actually working on a component, you know, from the biblical standpoint. We don't have it in place yet, but we're working on a component that actually, you know, will deal directly with counseling people with the Bible, specializing in a lot of those issues and being able to help people work through their mental health issues. But in the meantime, in between time, you know, if you have somebody or you know somebody, and let me say that, and I'm going to be done. You know, I'm going to be done. Yeah, somebody said, yeah, right. I'm going to be done. But our philosophy here, because I get this all the time. Pastor, you know, my so-and-so is dealing with a mental health issue. Can you talk to him? Can a biblical counselor? No. That person has got to want to come. So they got to say, look, I've come to the end of my resources and I need help. And if that's where that person is, we can help them. We have counselors who can work with those individuals. Now, if we see that they need more than just the biblical part, then we may refer out. But at least that person would be getting started on the issue that they're dealing with. So again, you know, we are serious about this issue here at Bethany, and we are doing what we can to address it. So, you know, I just wanted to slip that in there to let you know that there is help, you know, and there is help from a biblical perspective.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Sound Mind, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Sound Mind, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Sound Mind, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Sound Mind, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Antidote for Mental Health Issues, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org. You can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.